All that thrills my soul is Jesus. That's a great song, too. I think they're all great songs, aren't they? If you have a Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to speak and preach today on turning points. My name is David Jeremiah. He's the one that has that program, isn't it? Turning Points. But this is a great church, the church at Thessalonica. And Paul writes two letters to them, 1 Thessalonians and then 2 Thessalonians. But we'll look at one verse here that kind of shows you why they were such a great church. And we will begin reading here. Oh, let's start verse 8. Verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Boy, that's a testimony. So that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They turned to God from idols. That's a real blessing. Over in verse 13 of chapter 2, Paul said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They had a love for the Bible, and the Bible became real to them. And so if the Bible was real, the Savior was real. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the day of our salvation. I'm sure everyone here that's saved can say the same thing. And Father, I pray that we would keep this Bible principle in mind and all through the Scriptures, how you warn us, instruct us, guide us. May we always be able to turn in your direction. And Father, show us the blessings of that today. Show us how easy that can be and how that honors and glorifies you and affects so many people. We ask for your help now as we preach and as we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the new year, and people talk about turning over a new leaf. And I think where that comes from is not the leaf on a tree, but a leaf in a book. You know, it's a new page. It's a new chapter. And the best leaves are in this book here. But we want to do something. We want to grow. The Bible is filled with scriptures about growing in knowledge of the Lord, grow in the grace of the Lord, to understand, to mature as a believer. We are not the same as when we were first saved. Amen? We've come to the scriptures, we personally in our devotions, we've come to church, we've been taught, and we apply those things, and then we grow. And it's always a blessing to grow. Always. Here in our text, they turned to God from something. That is what repentance is. It's a change of direction. It's a change of mind. And every Christian, to be saved, you have turned from something to God. Let me give you an example of that. You can turn from self-righteousness. You can turn from false doctrine. You can turn from sin. You can turn from a lot of things, false teaching. In Romans, Paul is saying in chapter 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He goes on and he says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal towards God, but not according to knowledge. They were very religious, very strict. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. And so they were going about to establish their own righteousness. To be saved, Paul taught them, they had to forsake that and turn and accept God's righteousness. So I don't know what your testimony is, where God found you, where you found God, kind of like a mutual meeting, isn't it? But where you accepted the Lord as your Savior. Now, even after we're Christians, we're still changing. We're still turning our backs on some things and walking in the way of the Lord. Amen? So there's always instruction. There's always maturity. There's always growth. Paul said, I have not arrived. I don't think any of us have in this life. We're all maturing. We're all learning. But one of the verses I like a lot in the Bible is where the Lord said, this is the way, walk ye in it. So when I get in my Bible, I find the way. And God kind of instructs that. So thank the Lord for the Bible. When we talk about turning points, some people have made drastic changes in their life. You know, they just, night and day, they get saved and their whole life is completely different from how they were living. Some, it takes a gradual turn. Now they're saved and they've changed their mind about what is salvation. But maybe they were living a moral life, this life, that life. And so the change seems to be a little less noticeable, you know. But it's still a change. There are several quotes like, you are what you've been becoming, you know. And that's a gradual change. And so we see that in our lives. If you continue to do what you've always done, you'll continue to be what you've always been. Or if you continue to be what you've always been, you'll continue to do what you've always done. You want me to say that again? Don't ask me to say that again. I don't think I could. We all have our stories. We all have our stories about our salvation, how life-changing that was, about our walk with God for however many years you've been saved. You've seen some things. There are circumstances that happened in your life that maybe took you this direction or this direction. But God always has that offer, even when we walk away from Him, to come back. The Bible is full of illustrations of that. And that's a wonderful thing. Amen? We are not forsaken. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always got His hand out. Come, come, all ye that have burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So I think that's a real blessing. It all begins at a certain point, though. When you make a decision to go in one direction or another, whether it's a little decision or a big decision, it comes to that decision. The decisions are very, very important. We call them turning points. In Jonah chapter 3, Nineveh was a wicked city, and God sent Jonah to preach down there. You know the story. He went in the other direction at first. We might look at that a little later. But he ultimately turned and went back and preached to them. But this is what happened. God saw their works. These are the wicked people of Nineveh. And that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. They turned, God turned. God's response was made by what their response was. And so because they turned, and that's the blessing of this. And we'll find this out, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. This is what God says. Turn you at my reproof. Okay, what is a reproof? Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. They're corrections. Amen? Sometimes they're warnings. Timothy. Paul wrote to Timothy, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, right? And so we have the reproof there where we have the scriptures. And it's a blessing. It guides us in the right direction. My point to that is this. The rest of the verse says, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. There is a blessing promised if we'll just follow the Lord, if we'll turn from something to something. If we're constantly turning to the Lord, then we're going to be blessed, constantly blessed. He will make known His word unto us. If it's the Spirit of God that guides us into all truth, and the word is truth, then we don't want to grieve or quench the Spirit. Amen? When the Spirit speaks to us, in His comfort, in His wisdom, in His correction, and we follow that, then that knowledge of the holy comes. It's not just a book knowledge, because knowledge can puff up your mind. You know, you can know this about this and this about this. But when you really know God, not just about God, but when you really know God, it's because we're walking with Him. Amen? He's the light of the world. And when we walk in Him, we don't walk in our own light, like it said in Isaiah, the sparks of our own fire. No, we have the light of Christ, and we follow him, and it's just a blessing. The Bible means so much more, and it's so deeper than just a story, because we find God in it. In Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 5, and you have to watch for this, that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there are plenty of those kind of people out there. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. Beware, because they will spoil you. So there are those that would turn us away from our faith, evil communications, corrupt good manners. The verses are endless. And they would get us to question or doubt the truth of the Word of God or the blessing of serving the Lord. Ah, you don't need to serve the Lord. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here today. Amen. And as we do that, there's this filling of the Spirit. There's this guidance. There's this comfort. There's this strength in the inner man that God gives us. But you have to beware. In 2 Chronicles 25, in verse 1, the Bible talks about a king by the name of Amaziah, and he's a good king. But you come down to verse 27, and it says this: Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, it says they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem. There was a time when he turned away from following the Lord. In our ministry over the years, I've seen a lot of that. I have turned away in some respects, and God always welcomes me back. You ever get cold? You ever get discouraged? You know, all of those things that plug in there, and we're not what we need to be. Well, God's always there. He's always there just waiting. That's what I love about him. Amen. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But there are times when we can turn in the wrong direction. And there are consequences to that. Judas, Matthew 26, 16. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray the Lord. From what time? Where they offered him 30 pieces of silver. Demas hath forsaken me, Paul said, having loved this present world, and is departed. And so because of maybe a desire to be more like the world or some carnal decision, we can decide to go away from the Lord rather than follow the Lord. And that is not what we ought to be doing. Repentance is a turn in the right direction. You've probably heard the term backsliding, and it's in the Bible, but that's a turn in the wrong direction. So we have repentance because we all need to do it. Amen. You, since the day you got saved, are not just getting better and better and better and better and better and better. I don't know how many times I've said this, but we ride the roller coaster. Amen? We're going, man, I trust God. God's so good, and I love the world. And I mean, you just go on and on and on. And there's times, woe is me. It's not amen. It's oh me, you know? And so those are times we repent. Where we doubted God, where we didn't trust God. He's always come through, has he not? I mean, he's so faithful, and he will never leave us, and he's always there. And yet there's times, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he may say, oh, you have little faith, but he said to them, how is it that you have no faith? You know? But you can always come back. You ever say the wrong thing? Probably nobody here, right? But you ever say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, have a bad attitude? Probably. We can always come back. Amen. We can always turn away from that. And there are circumstances, depending on how great the turn was, there are circumstances and things that happen in our life to give us an opportunity to see ourselves, where God can show us something, where we can turn back to him. He's always interceding for us. He's always watching. He's always wanting to bless us. That's a friend to have, amen? Somebody that always wants to give you good advice and direct you in the right direction. In John chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to people and his disciples too. And he's talking about how they had manna in the wilderness that was bread sent down from heaven. And then he explained, I am the bread sent down from heaven. I am the bread. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, and they didn't understand that, right? That's not transubstantiation. That when we take the Lord's Supper, it does not turn into the literal body and blood of our Lord. It was a picture, because in the same chapter, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, right? He's not a real door like we see there, but he's a way. And so he's telling them about how he is the bread of life, and if somebody partakes of him, they will have eternal life, which is true. Amen. But the Bible says there in John 6:6:6. Boy, I wonder if there's any significance there, but it says, from that time, from what time? The time that he spoke that, from that time many of his disciples went back, backslid, and walked no more with him. From that time. And it says, because there were hard sayings. Because of the hard sayings, they turned. You ever come to church, or I don't know, you're watching something on TV, a gospel, and or you're reading a book, and there's something that really is a hard saying, and you don't want to follow that. You don't want to hear that. Remember, they stopped their ears? They said, we don't want to hear it. Sometimes God speaks. Not everything is real palatable. Not everything tastes real good. Amen? But it's still food for the soul. And it's good for us. Anything that God says in his word. But sometimes when it's a hard saying, and man, I don't know about that, you can go in the wrong direction because of that. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I've seen that in my preaching over the years. I've seen some people come and get saved, and some people never come back. Because they didn't want to be saved like the Bible says to be saved. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, again it says, Demas hath forsaken me. He traveled with Paul. And why did he forsake him? Because he loved this world. So he changed it from that time. Proverbs 7:22, the young fool, the harlot. Boy, that's a terrible combination, a young fool and a harlot. It says, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Wrong direction. David in the Bible. You know, there's a lot written about this, and these are steps that David made in falling with Bathsheba. It says that when kings go forth to battle, David tarried at Jerusalem. He was a king, he should have been in the battle. But he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He went up on the roof and he looked at this woman. He lusted after her. He had the power to call her unto him. Sometimes power is a bad thing, you know. But all the sin that took place, the death of Uriah, you know, the defilement of Bathsheba. But those were steps. But God made steps for David to come back to him. Isn't that a blessing? You can talk to anybody, no matter if they're in jail for murder, it doesn't matter what the sin, you can talk to anybody and God will make a way back to him. Maybe we can't change the circumstances of life. Maybe you don't get out of prison. Maybe your health doesn't come back. Maybe you can't change this or you can't change that, but you can always make a way back to God. And that's just such a blessing. I love to preach for that reason. You always give people hope. Peter, he denied the Lord. There were steps to him turning away from the Lord. You know, he warmed himself at the devil's campfire, they said. He followed afar off, and that there's commentators that write the seven steps of Peter going in the wrong direction. But again, there was always a way made for them to come back, and Peter did. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there, Daniel chapter 4, this is about King Nebuchadnezzar, and it's a great little story. We'll just take the time to read it. Before I read that, though, I want to read one verse, if I can find it. Keep this in mind. This is Romans 11:36. Bible says, of him, through him, and to him are all things, God, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Of him, through him, and to him. We go to Daniel chapter 4, and let's begin reading here in verse 28. All this came upon Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel had a dream and told him what was going to happen. At the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" That's completely opposite of what we read in Romans chapter 11. If you have ability, if you have a good mind, you say, "Well, I'm a self-made man." God gave you all you have to work with. Amen? Your character, just your physical stamina, all of that. The situations, the circumstances, the doors open for you. God opened. All glory to Him. Amen? And we have to be careful that we don't have self-glory. We don't take and rob that from God. If God's blessed you, every good and perfect gift cometh from above. Thank God for that. This man didn't do it. "This is great Babylon that I have built by my power, my majesty." While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." We can trust everything to God. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till the hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom from generation to generation. The last verse says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." He said there, "Mine understanding returned unto me." Well, that's Old Testament. Well, Luke 15 is New Testament. And the prodigal son came to himself. His understanding came back. And sometimes that's what it is. Here it was a circumstance. Well, with the prodigal it was a circumstance. But he had been in that circumstance for some time. But all of a sudden now, boing, you know, you ever read those comics? And they got the light bulb, you know, in the little caption. There's just a light bulb. I get it. You ever get it? You know, where God says, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Yeah. Boy, what a blessing. And he always makes a way to come back. Proverbs 16:18, "Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before the fall." Proverbs 18:12, "Before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble." A hard heart. And this goes a little deeper than circumstances, but a hard heart is a turning point. A hard heart is a turning point away from what God wants. A humble heart is a turning point towards what God wants, because that heart is tender. Remember the seed in the sower and the good ground received the seed? The seed is the heart. And because that seed was that planted in good ground, it brought forth. What a blessing that is to know those truths. Luke 15:17, "When he came to himself, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." But he's in a far country. He had this thought, "Man, I need to go home to my father. My father was so good to me." God's been so good to us. Amen. "I need to go home to my father. There's bread in my father's house." But he was in a far country. So he started the journey back home. Sometimes it's a long journey, you know. Sometimes you're not home, you know. Click your heels. I wish I was back in Kansas, you know. I can't do that very good. But God will make a way. and you stay on that path and come back to Him. There's different degrees of turning points in a person's life. Some are more drastic than others. David, we had mentioned, he had sinned. He fell with Bathsheba and had Uriah put to death. And Nathan the prophet comes to him. This is about a year. David has really been going through this conviction and the remembrance of his sin. And Nathan the prophet comes and tells him that story about the baby ewe lamb. But Nathan points his finger at David and says, "Thou art the man." Well, that's pretty tough. Amen? But that was a turning point in David's life. That's what Psalm 51 is all about, where he says, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned." His sin was brought right before him. It was all out in the open. And he repented. Amen? He repented, and that changed everything for David. That's a pretty drastic change. The prodigal son, he came to himself. That was a pretty drastic change. But sometimes they're not as drastic. Anderson wrote, "Disobedience was not the first step in Adam's fall. It was the last. It followed his unbelief." And what Bob Jones Sr., what did he say, Richard? Oh, what did he used to say? "Do right till the stars fall." He did say that, but that's not what I was really looking for. But that is a good one. I got it. Have you got it? Okay. No man goes to ruin overnight. It's a process of wicked thinking. It's planted in the mind. I'll never do that. Yeah, boy, I'd sure like to, boy. You know, and ultimately, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cast down those imaginations. We bring the right thoughts into our mind. Distrust is the first step away from God. Faith is the first step back. It has to be from here. Amen. It's not just what somebody tells you to do. In Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. You know the story. He's running away from God. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." What a pleasant thought. Amen? He's going away from God. What was the turning point? Can anybody guess? He's in the belly of a whale. Somebody said he got his degree from Whale University. That's where he got his wisdom from. But that was a turning point. That's pretty drastic. Amen? Nathan the prophet coming in, "Thou art the man." That's pretty drastic. But yet, isn't that the kindness of God? Doesn't that warrant the voice of thanksgiving when God redeems us and helps us? Acts chapter 16, verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Not Paul and Silas's turning point, but maybe the prisoners' turning point. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed, but the prisoners didn't run away." Something changed those prisoners. It was a turning point, amen? They're in prison, and now they hear songs, they hear prayers, they hear the word. This great big earthquake, you know? I'll bet Paul and Silas, "Deliver us, Lord," you know, songs of deliverance. And I think that was a turning point. 2 Kings 6, verse 17. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw there were more for them than there were against them. Sometimes somebody else's turning point is because of your prayer. It's not your turning point. It's their turning point. Sometimes your testimony, your steady faith, your trust in God, your joy, your comfort is a turning point in somebody else's life. How could you go through that and still trust the Lord, you know, still praise God? It's a turning point for somebody's life. So, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God to keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Trust and distrust are both turning points. Well, I've not done anything about it. Get back to faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen? So we've got to have faith, because faith keeps us following the Lord. Distrust, doubt, leads us away from the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, tossed to and fro. James 1, 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Not tossed to and fro, nothing wavering. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He says, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Those are turning points. They're turning points. You may have several turning points today, minor ones. You may have a big one. Maybe tomorrow there's something, a major turning point in your life. But it could just be real little things, you know? And God is in those things. Salvation is a major turning point. That's where we turn to God from idols, whatever those idols were, self-righteousness, false doctrine, but we turn to God. There's a word convert, a new convert, conversion, converted, a person who is converted from one opinion or practice to another. In a more strict sense, one who's turned to God. So we find that in that definition. In Psalm 78, verse 41, they turned back and tempted God. Jeremiah 11, 10, they are turned back to their iniquity. Zephaniah 1, 6, they are turned back from the Lord. Acts 7, 39, in their hearts they turn back again to Egypt. That's the wrong direction. Amen? I've got a lot to say this morning, and I'm just getting ready to get in my message. But so I'll try and keep it brief. That's the word I'm looking for. Brief means under 2 hours. Amen? I just made that up. For some, turning away from God is gradual. Did you ever hear of the illustration boiling a frog? You put them in water, cold water, put it on the stove. And if you put a frog in hot water, he'd jump out right away. But when you boil him, he kind of gets used to it. We should never get used to sin. Never get used to walking away from God. Amen? Because that's what hardens our heart. Harden not your heart. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand the truth. Prayer is important for turning back to God. 2 Chronicles 6, 37, turn and pray. 2 Chronicles 7, 14, pray and turn. Private prayer is probably one of the most important things you'll do as a believer. Private prayer. It's good to pray in public, and there's an example of that in the Bible. But in private prayer, you don't care what you say. You don't care who hears what you say. You don't care how you say it. You can say it with tears. You can say it however you want to say it. But it's real, because you're talking to God. Amen? And I know this is true. I was at a preacher's meeting one time down in Texas, and a bunch of preachers were at an altar, and the preacher who was hosting the meeting called on several preachers to pray, and he called on me. And so I was in an order. You know, there were three or four guys praying before me. And you know what I was doing while they were praying? I was thinking about what I was going to say. You know, well, what am I going to say? And God says, well, I'll tell you what to say. But I was thinking, what am I going to say? And I missed half of the prayer. So your mind ever wander when you're in a prayer group, you know, and it's coming to you and you're the one next one praying and you're just thinking about going home and eating, you know, which is a good thing to think about. And then you feel the elbow. Oh, yeah, thank you, God, for... When I was at Bible college, one of our professors would call on, you know, one of the guys to pray, and for whatever reason. And one of these guys was sleeping in the class and sound asleep on his desk. And in the middle of the class, I mean, the class is going on, and one of his friends, no longer his friend, but one of his friends at the time, did this and said, "They want you to pray." He just stood up and started praying, man. I mean, right in the middle of the class. Amen. It's great, ain't it? You know? But you'll find yourself when you're called on to pray, and well, I don't want to make anybody self-conscious because I do the same thing, but when you're praying in private, wow, that's you and God. Amen? And that's a turning point. Prayer is a turning point. It's a real blessing to pray. What do you got going today for me, Lord? What do you got going for me today? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, the Bible says, I won't take the time to read these verses, but about not being ashamed at his appearing. When the Lord comes back, we don't want to be ashamed of our life or what we're doing for him. You know, there's 1 Corinthians 3, I think it's Romans 14, and 2 Corinthians 5 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, "We shall see him as he is." Amen. And we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. In all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter's denial of the Lord is recorded. And in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, and verses 54 verse through verse 62, and again, I won't take the time to read that, but Peter is saying, "Lord, I don't care if I go to prison. I'll go to prison for you. I will die for you. I will never deny you." And I believe he meant it. But boy, there was a lot of pride there. We have no idea how we're going to respond tomorrow. That's why we need the Lord's help every day. Amen. We know what we want to do. But Peter got in that situation. And the Lord told Peter, "Peter, when your faith fails, I'll be there for you. I'll pray that your faith doesn't fail ultimately." And you know the story of Peter denying the Lord. But Peter wrote in, I think it's 1 Peter, he said, or maybe it's 2 Peter. It can't be 3 Peter. It's got to be one of the first or the second. And he said, "After that ye have suffered a while, God strengthen, establish, and settle you." He wrote 1 and 2 Peter. I believe that experience was a real turning point for Peter. The Bible says that he denies the Lord three times, the cock crows, and Jesus looked at him, didn't say anything. And the Bible says, if you'll read that text, the Bible says that Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he went out and wept bitterly. You talk about being ashamed looking in the face of the Savior. Ashamed. Because he had denied the Lord. The Lord had even told him that. I think about Peter after the resurrection. And in John 21, he's there with the Lord. And three times Jesus says, "Lovest thou me?" I believe that was because he denied the Lord three times. And finally he says, "Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And he says, "Go and feed my sheep." Peter's life was changed. It was really, really changed. And you come to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, and he hears this. "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world." Verse 8, verse 11, Jesus is taken up to heaven. The angel says, "This same Jesus which was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." Peter heard that. Chapter 2, Peter is preaching. 3,000 people get saved. Something happened to Peter. Amen. Chapter 3, Peter and John, they're up to the temple. And there's a man there begging. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, such as I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Great miracle. He goes on preaching. You come to chapter 4. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I mean, you can go on and on and on. We ought to speak what the Lord tells us. Chapter 5, they were beaten for testifying for the Lord, and they left that council rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. Something happened to Peter. It says there, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. He didn't want to do that when he was by the campfire. Aren't you one of his disciples? No, I'm not. Not me. I don't know the man, remember? And he cursed. That's the story. Now, what was the turning point? And follow this. This is it. We'll be done. But this is a real important application. What was Peter's turning point? I don't know what a Bible scholar would tell you. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I put some ideas down. There's all kinds of commentaries and comments on this. Was it Jesus' prayer for him? Because Jesus said he would turn. That would be a turning point. Was it all the Lord's prayer? Was it more of a circumstance? Was it looking into the eyes of the Lord and going out and being so ashamed and weeping bitterly, so proud, so self-serving, so self-confident, I'll never deny you. But then he looked in the face of the Lord after denying him. Would that have been the turning point? Would it have been the truth of the resurrection? You know, when Jesus was raised again, would that have been it? Would it have been the forgiveness of the Lord? In Mark 16 and verse 7, when Mary was at the tomb and Jesus was there, and the angel, and Jesus was going to respond to her later, but the angel said to Mary, go tell his disciples that Jesus is risen, and Peter also. That is stated like that in your Bible because the Lord wanted to make sure that Peter was invited even after he denied him. Is it the Lord's forgiveness? Have you ever done anything and God's just been so good to forgive you? Is that a turning point? Would it have been the filling of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts? Would it be all God? I preached a message one time, and two messages, but it was on where 1st and 2nd Peter came from. If you read through 1st and 2nd Peter, you're going to find a lot of mercy and a lot of wisdom coming from this old fisherman. This loud, boisterous, got to be in charge of everything fisherman. He was always the spoken, always put his foot in his mouth. You know, he didn't know what to say, so he just said something because he had to talk. God really changed that guy. Amen? I mean, if you've ever read 1st and 2nd Peter, and if you haven't, go read it and look at what was the turning point in Peter's life. I think it's the last verse in 2 Peter, the last chapter, last verse, or maybe real close to there. But it says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What caused that? What took him from denying the Lord? What was the turning point? What do you think? Okay, and so here we are. We're all, okay, analytical, and yeah, I think it's this. No, it's probably this, and people argue the Bible or whatever. Shouldn't argue the Bible. Discuss the Bible, amen? But what is your turning point? What has been your turning point? What was the turning point that brought salvation to you? Remember, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There was a day, a time, a circumstance when you saw who you were and what you believed, and then you saw Jesus Christ and what the Bible teaches about salvation. And you turned from this and you turned to that. You were born again. Everybody here has a birthday, and on your birth certificate, they even put the time. Amen? We have a second birth certificate. That's our salvation. And there is a time when we turned from idols to serve the living God. Maybe after you're saved, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that. This was a big turning point. That was a big turning point. What caused those? Oh, man, I'll tell you what caused it with me. Judgment. Trial. Man, it was bad. What about the other side of that? What about you're so in love with the Lord, you're so filled with the joy of forgiveness. Oh, he's so merciful to me, so kind to me. What a wonderful Savior is he. Boy, that'll turn you. Love will turn you faster than judgment. Amen? Because sometimes when the judgment is over, you go right back. And that's what Pharaoh went through. As soon as the plague was gone, he hardened his heart again. But love will just keep going. And you'll love him more and more and more. And this won't be worth it, and that won't be worth it. I just want to please him and love him. Turning points. Amen. When you go home today or maybe throughout the week, think about the message. Think about what you ought to turn from and why you ought to turn from that. Well, if I don't turn from it, I could be in trouble. How about this? If I turn from it, he'll make his word known unto me. He'll fill me with love and joy and peace, that spirit. He'll be pleased. He'll be glorified. Other people will see that and be saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the opportunities you give us every day to turn back to you. Thank you for being so kind to us, so long-suffering, so patient, so merciful. And I pray today, Lord, that as we leave this place, there will be maybe a slight turn back or a major turn back to you. Whatever it is, continue to guide our lives and bless us that we might be a blessing. All honor and glory to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please.